Amen. We're going to look at Romans chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading in verse 1. I want to share a message entitled Together. It's actually a three-part message. I shared the first part of the message last night at our anniversary dinner. This is part two. Tonight I'll be finishing up the lesson on part three in the evening service at 6 o'clock. I'm always afraid to do two-part or three-part messages because if the first one's a dud, people won't come back to hear the rest of it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Harriet's got my back. I like that. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and unto the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day and for this opportunity to be in church. We're thankful, Lord, for 36 years of blessings upon us, Lord, from the early beginnings in East Dover Elementary School to coming here and building the first building and adding the fellowship hall and then adding on a gym and classrooms. And yea, Lord, even looking to future building as we see the hand of God blessing and see souls being saved and seeing the church continuing to grow. And so, Lord, we give you praise. We give you glory for what you have done. And, Lord, we're thankful to be able to be here and be a part of what God is seeing and willing to do here in Toms River. I pray, Lord, if there's someone in this service this morning that's not saved, will you touch their heart, Lord? May they come to faith in Christ. May they believe to the saving of their soul what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary for them. They might be able to leave here a child of God on their way to heaven. Help every believer, Lord, not to be slack in enjoying the promises of God, but may we be able to really, truly embrace day by day, Lord, the blessings of the Lord upon us. And so I pray for your blessing on the preaching of the Word of God this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text verse is verse 12, says, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. As I mentioned last night, several months ago, the Lord laid on my heart this word, together. And just thinking about the anniversary coming up and thinking about 36 years of Ocean County Baptist Church being here in Toms River, the privilege I've had to be the pastor of the church for 21 years, and just praying about what is it that God would have me to share and what should be our theme for the new year. And God impressed on my heart this word, together. I started doing a search in the scriptures and going through how many times God mentions the word together. And it's amazing. I literally came up with two pages of verses that God had said that we are to be together, or when they were assembled together, or God moving when they were together. And it's amazing to see what God desires to do through believers who are connected together. And I believe our theme for the new year for our church is going to be, as we mentioned, this matter of being together. It's not about being fractions and being doing our own thing and having our own philosophies, our own doctrine, our own concepts, but rather we do everything together for the glory of God. Last night in the dinner, I shared that, wait a minute, there was prayer that was exercised together. In Acts chapter 1, they had gathered together in the upper room, and they were praying. They were one accord in the upper room praying for God to move and to bless. And they received word from God that they were to tarry in Jerusalem until they would be endued with power from on high. And so there's prayer that is exercised. It is very clear, if you study church history, you do any study whatsoever, revival, there are no revivals that are experienced apart from there being a united effort in prayer by the believers in Christ to go before the throne of grace and ask for God to do something miraculous. And so there is prayer that is exercised together. Note, we talked last night also that there was scripture that was proclaimed over and over again. The first thing that Peter did when the people were gathered together was he stood up and preached the word of God. And the emphasis that needs to be always in the church is when we are together that the word of God is opened up and proclaimed and shared with people, that they might not just know how to be saved, but they might understand how to live their Christian life. So there was scripture proclaimed when they were together. Also, we saw last night that there was ministry that was enjoyed. And, Paul dealt with Timothy. He wanted to teach him and prepare him for the work of the ministry. Ministry is always work. And listen, we are to work together for the glory of God, doing the work of the ministry. If there's a dinner going on, it takes a lot of effort, a lot of planning, a lot of work to make that happen. If there's soul winning that is being done, it takes a lot of planning, a lot of work, then a lot of effort to make that take place and be accomplished. If we're going to have a van ministry, bus ministry, whatever the ministry may be, Sunday school, it takes much work by many people to see that that thing will happen the way it's supposed to happen for the glory of God. If all we do is focus on the actual ministry itself and the work of the ministry, then it ceases to be about people. And literally, the ministry is a work that God has established, giving us the opportunity to be able to reach people for Jesus Christ. We do that together. Paul's desire in our text where we read this morning is, he said, that I might be comforted together with you. Paul's desire was to be comforted with the saints of God. It is a very disheartening thing to try to live the Christian life alone. My wife and I, when we were in Bible college, it was a great time. I mean, in Bible college, everybody was focused on the Lord. I mean, the zeal, the excitement, the dedication, the surrender, the sacrifice, the faith. I mean, it was an amazing experience to be in a place for 4 years, having to believe God, trust God to miraculously feed you, trust God to miraculously provide for you, and yet be around, surrounded by hundreds of people who had the same heart, praying and pursuing and believing God would do something miraculous. And God did work in a miraculous way in our life. But then we left Bible college to go start a church, and we were all by ourselves. And it was struggling to try to get the church going. I remember our first church service, we had 35 people there. I did so good the second service, we had one. That was my wife. Matter of fact, I was going to tell her to bring the dog along with her so we could make sure we'd have more. The poor janitor in the school, he would come down and he'd peek in the door every once in a while and he'd talk to me after the service. He'd say, "Boy, preacher, it's really bad. He said, I really feel bad for you that there's not more people here. And I said, well, what are you talking about? God's going to fill this place up. I mean, I believed God, trusted God. I'd hear him walking down the hallway. His keys would be jingling. And I'd start saying, come on in, folks. There's plenty of room up front here. Come on in and have a seat. He would come over and open the door up to look to see how many people were in there. It was my wife and I. Glory be to God. I'm going to tell you one thing right now. It was hard to keep motivated for God when you're by yourself. But then God gave us some precious souls to be saved, and God started building a church. And I'm just telling you, Paul's heart desire was to be comforted together with other believers, because he understood how disheartening it can be to try to live the Christian life alone. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, I'm upset and I'm just not going to come to church anymore. I can live on my own. No, you'll get devastated. Your life will be ruined because of the fact you need others. You say, well, Jesus is enough. He's all sufficient. He can meet my every need. Yes, that's exactly right. But God is the one who designed Christian fellowship for us to be able to encourage one another in our walk with God. As I was putting this message together, the Lord brought to my mind a little story I heard years ago about a little boy who was in his bedroom, and there was a thunderstorm going on. There was lightning flashing. The wind was howling and blowing, and rain was coming down. And this little boy was scared to death to be in his room, and his father came in because the boy cried out to his father to come in and comfort his heart. And the father came in and said, son, you don't have to worry. The storm is not going to hurt you. God has designed the storms to be a blessing to us. You don't need to be afraid of the thunder and the lightning. And besides this, you know God's promised that he would always be with you. He would never leave thee. He'll never abandon you. And the little boy looked up to his father, said, I know that God would never leave me. He would never abandon me. But just right now, I just need somebody with skin on. And sometimes we just need somebody that has skin on, amen. I believe that God's with me. I know it's his spirit indwells in me, but I'm going to tell you one thing. It's a blessing to me sometime to have somebody with skin on to kneel down and pray with me. And so Paul desired to have comfort of being together with fellow believers. He said, I am that I might be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. In Ocean County Baptist Church, I'm just saying this. We need to strive for this new year to be together in a mutual faith one with another. That mutual faith that we have together is based on life and death. Now, what I did, I just went through the scriptures and I added these verses on. You just keep turning to the right, you'll get to the verse. Amen. Look in Romans chapter 6 in verse 5. We have a mutual faith that is built upon life and death. In Romans chapter 6 in verse 5, it says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. And all these verses I'll share have the word together in there. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. See, we as believers in Christ do not fear death because we know that this, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. And he that believeth in me, though he are dead, yet shall he live. And death is not fearful to the believer because if we have been planted in death with Christ, then we know this, that we are going to face and enjoy a resurrection in the likeness of Jesus Christ's resurrection, life and death. It is an identity. There are those that are going to be baptized in a few moments at the end of this service. When they get baptized, they're identifying with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have a mutual faith one with another. We're not a body of people that have multitudes of different beliefs and faiths. We believe the same thing here. We're on the same page here, and we believe in the fact that, wait a minute, there is life that is everlasting through faith in Jesus Christ, and death has no hold on the believer. So we have a comfort of our soul as we encourage one another in life and in death. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 17, we see we have a mutual faith in suffering and glorying. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 17, Paul says in verse 16, the Spirit itself bear witness to our spirit that we are the children of God. So we have that witness within ourselves, whether we're saved or not. You're here this morning, you know whether you're saved or not. I don't know whether you're saved, but I'll tell you one thing right now. The Spirit of God, while I'm preaching, will tell you whether you're saved or not. And he'll prod you and convict you. But he goes on, his Spirit gives us a witness that we're the children of God. And then in Romans 8:17, he says, and if children. Now, if you've been saved, you're a child of God. If a child, then you're heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So the Christian life is more than just suffering. It is enjoying the glorification that we have in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And listen, we may have to face suffering for Christ someday, but never forget this. In the suffering we go through, we are also going to be able to enjoy the glory of being in the presence of the Son of God. The mutual faith that we have one with another that's a comfort is a reality that suffering is not an end in itself, but rather suffering is a demonstration of the glory that is going to be in the presence of God Almighty. We have a mutual faith together so we can suffer with one another because we'll be glorified as heirs of Christ in heaven. So we have a mutual faith. Not just life and death and suffering and glorying, but in loving and praying. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 30, we read of Paul's continuing this thought of being together. In Romans 15 and verse 30, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. So there is this matter of loving and praying. Knowing that we have the love of the Spirit of God in us, it enables us to have a commitment or a resolve that we're going to continue in prayer for each other. You know, God loved us when we were yet sinners. And his love for us is amazing because of the fact there is absolutely nothing that we have ever done that deserves the love of God. Here it is love, not that we love God. See, people oftentimes, I try to lead people to the Lord, and they say, well, I love God. Well, the Bible says you don't. You may love God, humanly speaking, through the mindset of what you think love is about. But here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. See, love is sacrificial, and God demonstrated his love towards us that he sent his Son into this world to die for us, that we might be able to be delivered from the bondage of our sin, might be able to take the enemy of God and turn them into the children of God. And yet we have this love that God has given to us, the love of the Spirit of God that is in us, that gives us the ability to be together in prayer for one another. You know, the greatest thing that you can do for someone is to love them enough to be willing to pray for them. You know, I remember years ago I was witnessing someone. He told me, he said, I'm not going to be saved, and there's nothing you can do. He said, there's nothing you can do or you can say that'll get me to get saved. And I told him, I said, well, there's one thing I can do you can't stop me from doing, and that's I can pray for you. And I told him, I said, I'm going to be praying, and I'm going to be praying that God will convict you and God's Spirit will overwhelm you to the point where you got to get saved. And I'm going to tell you one thing right now. God can move in a mighty way if you have a loving heart to pray together for people to be saved and for their lives to be changed. We have a mutual faith. You know, I like sitting down with someone that believes what I believe. I do not go to conferences where there are people that disbelieve what I believe, because I am not going to go to be supposedly comforted and encouraged and have to sit there and defend what I believe. I remember years ago, I was invited to a ministerial meeting, and I just told the pastor, I said, I'm going to decline from coming. And he told me, he said, well, what's the matter? I said, well, I just know from what you're telling me who's going to be there, that there's going to be fellows that are there that are quote unquote ministers that do not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And I said, and I'm going to tell you, if the topic comes up, I'm not going to keep my mouth shut. And I know there's people there that disbelieve the word of God, and I'm not going to keep my mouth shut. I'm not going to ruin your fellowship. Go ahead and have your fellowship. I fellowship with people who have a mutual faith with me. They believe in life and death.
through the faith in Jesus Christ. They believe in their suffering in this world, but there is a glory that we attain when we get into heaven. There are people that have experienced the love of God that has so drastically changed their life that they literally pray for their enemies, that their enemies might be saved. That's the kind of people I want to be around, be together. So mutual faith. Notice also there was a mutual commitment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Notice he says here, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment." So what do we have here? Mutual commitment in what? First of all, working out our differences. There were so many controversies and so many divisions in the Corinthian church. And Paul is just saying this, listen, you need to speak the same thing. There needs to be no divisions. And you need to be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment, working out your differences. I remember my wife and I got saved years ago. The church that we got saved, we heard the gospel in was an independent Baptist church. And we got saved, our lives were radically changed. I mean, God did a work of grace in us, and I praise God for what he did. But I'll tell you one thing right now, I had friends of mine saying, I know where you're going over to that church. They have mind control. They're masterminds of manipulating your thoughts and all this, that, and the other. And I said, well, wait a minute. God's Spirit convicted me that I needed to be saved, and I called on the Lord, and he saved my soul, and I'm trying to gain the mind of Christ. I'm not gaining the mind of man. When we are at a place where we are growing in faith to understanding who God is and what Christ has done, let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. It is automatic that you start thinking alike, acting alike, living alike, because of the fact you're allowing God to mold you into the image of his son. They say the longer you're married, the more you become like your spouse. And it's a blessing for me to become like my wife, and probably isn't much of a blessing for her to come like me, amen. But we have to realize this, that the longer you're saved, the more the conversation you have is about Christ. The longer you're saved, there's major differences that develop in your life. You become more like Jesus, and because of that, the differences that we have together all of a sudden start fading away. You know, I'm glad everybody's not exactly the same. How boring would that be? I remember Dr. Vanneman years ago said he was counseling with somebody, and the husband and wife said, "Oh, well, we never have any disagreements. We never have any fights at all." And he looked down and he said, "How boring!" And making up once in a while is pretty good. Amen. But anyway, working out our differences. Hey, we're weird people. Just admit it. We're all weird. We have our own little quirks. We have our own philosophies. We have our own pet peeves. We have all our own things that we like or dislike. And we're supposed to all get along in the church. You talk about a motley crew. Look at the disciples. Look how different they were. But God's grace working in them, the mutual commitment they had to Christ, they overcame their differences. They embraced who they were in Christ. And hallelujah, they turned the world upside down for Christ. Why? Because they were together with a mutual commitment. And so they worked out their differences. Notice they were looking forward to blessings. In Ephesians chapter 2, you can just turn to the right a little bit more. Get the little book of Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 5 and 6. Says, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved. And have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." In other words, we're looking forward to the blessings rather than focusing on the negative experiences in this life. Because of the fact that we are dead to our sins, but we are alive unto God through faith in Christ, we know this, that God has already, in reality, with you sitting here this morning, you're just as much as sitting in heaven. and we'll be able to enjoy the blessings of God one day. We'll be able to see our Savior face to face. We'll be able to enjoy a life of peace and consolation. There'll be no more sin, no more sorrow, no more conflict, no more difficulties because of the fact we'll be present in our Savior. There needs to be a mutual commitment as a body of believers looking forward to the blessings. I don't know about you, I'm looking for the upper taker, not the undertaker. Amen. I'm looking for the trump of God to sound so that I might go to glory. And some of you might want to wait till the end of the tribulation period. That's okay. I'm going on the first round. And so I'm just going to enjoy the fact that there is a mutual commitment that we can have, that we're looking forward to the day when we'll be in a place of blessings upon blessings that's beyond our imagination. So a mutual commitment. I don't know about you, that's more exciting than looking at the politics that goes on in this country. Well, let's see here. We need to enjoy God's molding us. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 21, it says, "In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord." That's us, growing to a holy temple in the Lord. "In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." You realize this morning that our commitment to the Lord is based upon the fact that God is molding us into the image of His Son. And Jesus said this, "Where two or three are gathered together, and there's that word together again. Where two or three are gathered together, I am in the midst." And I'm going to tell you, when we have a mutual commitment to God's molding us into the image of His Son, when people come into the church house, they realize there's something different about this place. They realize there is a spirit here that's different from other places. They acknowledge the fact, wait a minute, God is in this place, and I didn't even know it, but blessed be the Lord God of heaven. We have a mutual commitment that is enjoying God's molding us into His image. I'll tell you one thing. I'm so glad I'm saved, because God has done a work in my life. I tell people what I used to be. They look at me and say, "There's no way that you could be like that." But this man was a filthy sinner who needed the forgiveness of God. And God changed me and molded me into the image of His Son. To God be the glory. Amen. Together. Mutual faith. A mutual commitment. Well, we have a mutual life together. In Philippians chapter 1, in verse 27, that mutual life fulfills the gospel. Philippians chapter 1, and verse 27, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." People say, "How shall I live?" As it becomes the gospel of Christ. "Only let our conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." We have a mutual life. We live for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We live so people can see that we are a new creation in Christ. We live so that people see that they need to surrender their life to this God who sent His Son to die on the cross for them. We share with them the good news that there is a Savior that completely sets us free from the bondage of all our sins. We have a mutual life together. I love being with Christians. I'll tell you one thing right now. I enjoy. Yeah, guys singing. We put this little quartet up here. I told you last night, we're the one-set quartet. We only have one set of songs. That's it. If you want to hear us sing, we just got to sing it over again. Amen. I enjoy staying up here and singing. I enjoy going soul winning. I enjoy teaching. I enjoy preaching. I love living the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what life is all about. Many Christians struggle because they forgot that the life that we have together is in the fulfillment of the gospel of Christ. Not only does it fulfill the gospel, but our mutual life requires loyalty. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. Philippians 3 and 17 says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk as ye have mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." And so Paul tells us there needs to be loyalty. You know, 2016 in America, that is not a very popular term, loyalty. You know, marriages have fallen divorce. Children are not being cared for because their fathers aren't loyal to taking care of their children. You have all kinds of situations in churches where the things are falling apart because they're not loyal to each other or loyal to Christ, not loyal to the Word of God. I'm just saying this, that we have a mutual life together that can be a blessing because of fulfilling the gospel. That means we need to be committed to the gospel, need to be loyal to the gospel, need to be loyal to one another. Well, there is a mutual life that motivates through love. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2, says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of the understanding, that the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ motivates through love, this mutual life that we have. You know, years ago, I thought that I could really make people spiritual. I really did. I thought I could force people to be committed to God. And I did all kinds of things that was in the flesh to try to make people what I thought was spiritual. And I realized this, there's only one thing that motivates people to walk with God, and that's the love of Christ in their heart.
Amen. That's it.
That's it.
Yes,
there is nothing that I can manipulate or control Amen. To make that happen. The only thing that you can do is come to a place of acknowledging, wait a minute, we have a mutual life together, and that mutual life that we have together is that we're knit together in love.
Amen.
We're supposed to love one another as God loves us, as Christ loved us. That's what how we're supposed to respond to one another. And the motivation of being surrendered together and living out our life for the glory of God together in a church ministry is because of the love of Christ shed abroad in our hearts that we can now love one another with a pure love. That's what motivates us to go soul winning, is the love of God that's in us to love those that are lost, to pray for our enemies that want to harm us, to pray that they might come to know Christ, but to pray for brothers and sisters in the Lord, because we're committed to this thing. We're knitted together in the love of God. The world has no concept what real love is, but certainly we do, because we've experienced the love of God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So my challenge to us as a church is to have our theme and our thought process of this matter of being together, praying together, preaching together, ministering together, faith that is together, commitment that is together, love that is blossoming together, a life that we have that is powerful because of our resolve to walk with the Savior. See, it's not about us committing ourselves to each other, but it's about us committing ourselves to Christ. And the more we're committed to Christ, the more we become like Christ, and the more we become one together. And we always like to put the cart before the horse. Let's just let the Lord be the leader, and let the Lord do the molding, and let God bring the changing. And I'll tell you what, it'll be amazing to see how we respond to each other and to others, because we are bound together in Christ Jesus. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved, I want you to know God has done everything that is necessary for you to go to heaven. All you need to do is receive Christ as your Savior.
Amen.
As a believer this morning, if you're a member of the church here at Ocean County Baptist Church, you need to realize this. God has given you everything you need to live and minister within the body of Christ and reach out to others. And you need to just have the resolve that, wait a minute, if God has so knit us together, then I'm going to be committed together. Why? Because where two or three are gathered together, he said, I am in the midst. And I believe God can move. I believe there's some great things God wants to do through Ocean County Baptist Church. I believe the blessings of God on our church for the future is going to be greater than what we've experienced in the past. And I don't know about you, but the past was pretty good. And I'm expecting great and mighty things from God as we press forward together. This is not Mike Weigel's ministry. This is the Lord's church.
Amen.
This is the Lord's doing.
That's right.
And we together are his children.
Amen.
And we worship and praise him and serve him together.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we come to you with a spirit in our hearts longing to be at one with you and one with each other. Lord, we long to see a manifestation of the power of God released in our midst, that where we and all others who would gaze upon us would have to say, this is of God and not of man. And Lord, our longing in our hearts is that the name of Jesus will be lifted up and magnified. So we pray for your blessing. Lord, will you bring conviction if someone needs to be saved this morning? Lord, will you stir the heart and the soul of the saints of God? Will you help us, Lord? Oh, help us, God, to be drawn closer to thee, that we might be close to one another. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.